Indeed, we do know that our Redeemer does live. Before I begin going to my lesson, I want to first of all ask the congregation to pray for Brother Obed that he makes returns back off his vacation safely. As well as, if I didn't get a chance to thank you, I want to thank you, the congregation, for praying for me when I was out of town and praying that I made it back safely. So I want to thank everybody for that. Also, I want to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you to present the lesson this morning. I'm going to, if I will have you, please go to 2 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse number 7. Please bear with me because these passages I'm going to read are quite extensive, a little long, but I think reading these passages will definitely enhance what the lesson I'm trying to give this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 7, the Bible reads, For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, and under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statues of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from them, from before the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. And he set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And they burnt incense in high places, as the heathens did, whom the Lord God carried away before them, and provoked wrath. Wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. And they serve idols thereof. And the Lord has said unto them, ye should not do this thing. Yet the Lord God testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers. And in which I sent to you my servants, the prophet. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the necks of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes, his covenants that he had made with their fathers, his testimonies, which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after heathens that were around about them, concerning whom the Lord God had charged them, and that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshiped all the heaven, host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. And they used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. And there were none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel which they had made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hands of spoilers, until he cast them out of his sight. And he rented Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord, and made sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he had did, and they departed not from them, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he has said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of the land to Assyria until this day. For the past quarter, we've been studying King Solomon. And we've been studying King Solomon as far as how he became king and the type of king he was, that he asked God for wisdom to be able to serve his people. Besides Jesus, it said that King Solomon was probably one of the wisest men to ever walk the earth. And we see how King Solomon had the privilege of building a temple and how the temple had all of its splendor. But we also studied, and Brother Obed had been giving us lessons the past couple weeks on Solomon's downfall. We see that Solomon was a wise man and that God was with him, but Solomon had an issue. He let things get to his head. Not only that, is that Solomon had an issue when it came to the women, the wives, and his concubines, that those wives and the concubine influenced him to do evil. And that is what my lesson is on this morning, is that how influence destroys kingdoms. You know, every Christian will have to agree that when it comes to when we're born, that God gives us a soul before we are even born. Not only that when we die, the soul lives on. That when it comes to our soul, that it transcends our existence. What I mean by that is that we have a soul before we're born, and that our soul lives on after we die. Well, it's influence is kind of weird, because it's the same way. You know, when it comes to influence, we can have influence on people before we even exist. I can remember the time that me and Tasha found out that we were going to have a son, and how that impacted us and how it had a strong influence on us. Now, not only, you know, that, you know, far as having a son, but it impacted us financially. Right. Well, what I'm talking about is that y'all know my wife, and that when it comes to her decorating, she gets into it. Right. And that when we found out we were going to have a son, that we had his room all decorated. I mean, we had the nicest furniture. Everything was just so nice. And when he was born, he never slept in his room. He slept with us the whole time. But my point was that he was influencing us before he was even born. It's the same when we die. How many people do that we know that have influenced us and have gone from this world? We know that because we have the Bible standing in front of us. If Jesus hadn't influenced us, you wouldn't be here. So we see that influence is a strong thing, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the power of influence. Now, the scripture that I read in your hearing just a few minutes ago, and I know that it was long, but I wanted you to see the result of what influence can do. That God, when it came to the northern kingdom, and he also did the same thing to the southern kingdom, that how influence destroys kingdoms. And the reason why we're talking about Solomon, because when it comes to this kingdom and the split of the kingdom, it happened because of Solomon's sin. So it's important for us as Christians, especially those in the Lord's church, to understand our Old Testament. Because if you truly understand your Old Testament, you will know the power of influence. That this whole Old Testament, when we talk about God giving Abraham the promises, he promises him a land, a great nation, and a seed promise. And when we're reading the text, when we're reading about Solomon, when we're reading about the children of Israel, we're reading about what God is doing with the children of Israel. Meaning that we're reading about how God took them and brought them to the promised land. And not only that how they became a great nation, and how through that great nation, the seed was going to come. That means Jesus Christ. But one thing about the children of Israel, I would say that the entire Old Testament is about, they always got influenced by other nations. The whole Old Testament is about it. Whether you read from Deuteronomy all the way to Malachi, what you're reading a story about a people that got influenced by the other nations, and how God sent prophet after prophet trying to bring his nation back. But as we see here in 2 Kings chapter 17, that God has a limit. And we're seeing that God is going to utterly remove the northern kingdom from his sight. So this morning, we're going to talk about influence. If you will, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start our reading. It's a very short verse, but it's a very powerful verse. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 33. Because Jesus gives us an indication a little bit about influence. In Matthew 13 and verse number 33, listen what the Bible says. It says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid it in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leaven. Now, typically, a lot of times when we see leaven in the Bible is talking about a negative thing. But we see here that Jesus, when it's talking about leaven, and leaven is, by the way, is fermented dough that they put into the bread to make the bread rise. But Jesus uses this parable to show how leaven has influence. So when we talk about leaven, one thing that we need to consider when it comes to leaven, that it takes just a little bit to make an impact. That's the first point I want to make, that it takes a little bit to make an impact. Now, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7, because, again, we're going to go back and forth and look at some of the examples of the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 7. It doesn't take much leaven to make a great impact. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And listen to this. The Lord did not set his love on you nor chose you because ye were more in number than any people, but ye were the fewest of all people. We see that God, when he's talking to the children of Israel, that when it came to the nations around them, and if you want to see what the context is talking about, read verse number 1. He's comparing them to those other Canaanite nations around them. What God is wanting them to do is go into the promised land and conquer the promised land. But God is telling them, hey, you're a small nation. Compared to the other nations around you, you are very small. They are mighty. God always uses the lesser. He always uses the weaker to make his point. He always does. David and Goliath. Even the Lord's church today. You see, church, when it comes to the Lord's church and when it comes to the population of the world, there's about 7 to 8 billion people in the world. Do you know how many people are in the Lord's church today? Maybe a million. Maybe a million. Here's my point. Just because we're small, don't let that influence you. God always uses the lesser. He always uses the lesser. You know, when we talk about the church and when we talk about our numbers, just think about the apostles. 12 men turned the world upside down with their message. It wasn't a lot. He didn't use a lot of people. He never does. So don't get discouraged. Don't get influenced by our numbers. Just do what the Lord God has told us to do. Let us do the influence, not them influencing us. Because we see that when it came to the children of Israel, they allowed those nations to influence them. Now, these are the people that saw God part the Red Sea. They seen all kind of miracles. But yet, they always wanted to be like the other nations. And sadly, it's happening in the Lord's church today. I don't know how many congregations are changing their ways, departing from the word of God, because they're being influenced by other religious organizations. So many. So church, when we look at our Old Testament, and it's important for us to read up and learn from our Old Testament, because you can't really understand Christianity. You can't really understand the kingdom that you're in unless you understand where you came from and what God has done for you. And if you understand your Old Testament, it'll give you a greater appreciation of who you are, and that you would not fall for the type of influence that goes on outside this building. So we see when it comes to leaven, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. So when we see when it comes to leaven, that it only takes a few to impact the whole. Not only that, is that when it comes to leaven, we see that even though leaven is surrounded, that it never changes what it is. It never changes its identity. The whole time that the leaven is in the bread, it continued to be leaven all the way through. We have to understand that it continues to be leaven all the way through. Turn with me to, let me get to my page here. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 4. Again, what are we doing? Is that we're, 1 Samuel chapter 8. What are we doing? We're seeing the examples of the children of Israel. Now watch what they do here. Now, mind you, this God, right? God has taken them out of Egypt, right? And that he's bringing them into the promised land. And that wasn't good enough for them. So they allowed the other nations to influence them. So God sent them judge after judge after judge. But that wasn't good for them either. Watch what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 8 in verse number 4. Listen what it says here. It says that, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came unto Samuel and unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old and thy son walketh not in thy ways. Now listen to this. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But this thing displeased Samuel. And when they had said and give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And listen to what God says here. It says, and the Lord God said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. They always wanted to be like the other nations around them. See, God used Israel again. He used this small nation. And the whole purpose was Israel, yes, to bring the Savior into the world. But their whole purpose for Israel was they were supposed to influence the pagan nations around them. They were supposed to be a testimony to their God. That was their whole purpose. But we see that even though that God has chosen them, that they wanted to change their identity. They didn't want to be under God's leadership anymore. They wanted a king like the other nations around them. And if you haven't put two to two together, you found out what that king did to them. Solomon. God, if you continue to read chapter 8 of this chapter, God tells them what once you have kings, what their demands are going to be. And if you fast forward to 1 Kings chapter 12, we see the results of it. The people came to the king and wanted to relieve from all the things that the taxation and all the things that was going on. God warned them that this was going to happen. Not only that, is that when the kingdom split, the northern kingdom had king after king after king after king, and not one of them were good. Not one. Why? Because they wanted to be like other nations. We can't afford to do this, church, that when it comes to us, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We cannot conform. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Listen what the Bible says here. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen to this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect and the will of God. We have to keep our identity. Just like leaven, when it comes to leaven, when it's in the bread and all of that, it always keeps its identity. Even though it's surrounded. Remember, we're only talking about a small portion that's making a strong impact. And it keeps its identity. Church, we need to keep our identity. So many, I'm not trying to be mean. Lord knows I'm not trying to be mean. But if I take a picture of the congregation right now, in about six or seven hours when it's time for evening worship, and I take a picture, the picture is going to be different. Why? Because the numbers that are faithful that come to evening worship shrinks. We have to keep our identity, church. We have to. We can't conform to this world. You know, we are surrounded by all, I understand that we're surrounded by all kind of influence. Just like the children of Israel. Again, if you understand what God is doing in the Old Testament, you will understand what God is doing in the New and what's going on today. That's why it's important to read your Bible. It's important to read your Old Testament. It's just not 39 books that's just back there that's just, you know, just for you know, whatever purposes. Yeah, I understand we call ourselves New Testament Christians, but we wouldn't be Christians without the Old Testament. So it's important to understand where you come from and that we need to keep our identity. All right, go back with me to Matthew chapter 13. And this is my final point this morning. Matthew chapter 13. Now listen what Jesus says at the last part of this verse. Verse 33, let me get there real quick. Listen what it says here. And another a parable spake he unto them, and the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid it in 3 measures of meal. Now listen what it says here. It says, till the whole was leavened. It completed the job. It didn't stop. It completed what its whole purpose was to do. Everybody turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And this is something that if you are in my Bible class, I'm pretty sure Haley and Asia and Jude and Braylon and Jeremiah, both Jeremiahs, will contest that we've been studying and studying and studying these passages. Because I want them to know who God is and how God loves us and why God is doing certain things. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 1, listen what it says. And when the Lord God, and when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou go and possess it, and thou cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show unto them mercy. Neither shall thou marry with them thy daughters, and thou shalt not give them give unto them his son, nor thy daughter shall be taken take thou unto thy son, for they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But this shall thy deal with them. Ye should destroy all altars and break down the images and cut down the groves and burn the graven images with fire. Now, if you've been paying attention to my sermon, if you notice, the first verses that I read in your hearing was 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 and following. And if you've been paying attention to those words, you can see when God is about to destroy the northern kingdom, he accuses them of doing the very things he told them not to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, God tells them, do not be influenced by these other nations. That when you go into the promised land, your whole job is to utterly destroy them. Utterly destroy them. Because if you don't, they're going to influence you. And do you know that when they went into the promised land, they did not do what God told them to do? And for hundreds and hundreds and for hundreds of years, these other nations influenced the children of Israel. Israel didn't complete the job. God gave them a command to go and destroy those nations. And do you know some of the practice these other nations did? If you go to Leviticus chapter 18, 19, and 20, you'll find out some of the things that these other nations did. You know, this morning I was talking to my class when we were talking about what does it mean when God tells them that they were putting their sons and daughters through the fire. Do you know what that is? These other nations, when they were worshiping their god Baal, they had a statue called Moloch, and the statue had arms. And what they would do, they would heat up these arms and they would put their children out there on these arms to sacrifice their own children. This is how wicked this nation was. Bestiality, homosexuality, incest. All of these things these nations were doing. This is the reason why God told them to utterly destroy them. Because he knew if they left them there, they would influence them. And don't you know, what God told them to do, they didn't do it, and this is what happened. Do you know that the children of Israel sacrificed their own children? If you read 1 Kings chapter 11, you can see Solomon was complicit. King Solomon, the wisest king, the wisest person on earth besides Jesus Christ, got influenced by these women, and he started to worship and being influenced to worship in their gods. These are the type of nations that were around them. God said, do not have any dealings with them. What about us today? Are we going to complete our job? You may say, Brother Brown, what is our job? Everybody knows the scripture. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. And this is going to tie in to what we're going to be doing next month, right? We're having what we call the evangelism class, right? Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to start at verse number 18 and 19. It says here, Matthew 28, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and unto earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's our mission. That's our mission. Our mission is to go and evangelize. That's what it is. And we see when it comes to leaven, that when it comes to leaven, it always completes the job. Are we going to be like the children of Israel and not do what the Lord God commanded them to do? And what I mean by evangelizing, I'm not talking about that you have to come door knocking with us or anything like that, because I understand that some people aren't able to door knock. But you can evangelize at the job. And trust me, when it comes to your life, if you're living a life of a Christian, people are going to ask you why you do the things you do. Why? Because you don't drink. You don't smoke. You don't do certain things. And that is going to be an opportunity to share your faith in God. So in essence, let's continue to share God's word. Don't let the world influence you. Yes, we're surrounded by all kind of religious denominations and religious organizations. That don't mean that you still can't share the gospel with them. And we see that when it came to the children of Israel, what the final result was. And the same applies to us, church. The same applies to us. We're few in number. We're few in number. But we need to hold our identity of who we are. And we need to complete the job. Just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, when it comes to leaven. We need to be the influence, not them influencing us. So if we have anybody this morning, maybe you not a member of the Lord's church and you want to be a member of the Lord's church. Well, the Bible tells us that before you can be a member of the Lord's church, that you need to hear the gospel. You need to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you hear it, maybe that once you hear it and that if you truly believe it, then if you truly believe, then you realize that, hey, the way and the life that I was living, I need to make a change. I need to turn around from what I've been believing or the life that I've been living. That is repentance. And once you repent, then it tells us that in Matthew chapter 10 at verse number 32 to 34 that we need to confess. And what are we confessing? When it talks about confessing, we're talking about confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're saying that he is King in my life. And once you do that in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, it tells us to repent and what? Be baptized. You have to get into the watery grave of baptism. No, and I would tell members of the Lord's church, if you believe this, stop telling people this. The water does not save. It's the blood that saves. Only blood can wash away sin. But it's the place where you contact the blood in the water to wash away your sins. And once you wash away your sins, then we need for you to walk in a different life and be faithful to the end. Or maybe you're a member of the Lord's church and you've been influenced by people around you. It's not too late. Just what you can do is that you can repent of what you have been doing. And we all been guilty of it. We all have been influenced. We all have fallen short, and we all have let outside things interfere with our walk with Christ. But the beauty of it is, church, is that you have an opportunity to get it right now. So maybe you have fallen short and that you need to repent and you need the congregation to pray for you. You can do so as we stand and sing the song of invitation.